everyone. It's Angela Stevens with the podcast Refocus with Angela. I am so excited to introduce you to someone today. This individual is not only an amazing attorney, but he's also a friend of mine. And I'm going to give you my personal experience with working with him. But today we have John Gold. He is a partner with Reynolds and Gold. He works in a lot of different areas. And today we're going to be talking about bankruptcy and a lot of the ins and outs of information that we all should know, but he practices in a lot of different areas. So, John, thank you so much for joining me today.
You're welcome, Angela. Great to be with you.
Awesome. So, John, tell me, first of all, why did you want to become an attorney?
You know, I had a desire when I was an undergraduate to be a dentist. And about my sophomore year, I made a shift in my coursework and pursued a business degree, undergraduate degree. And about that time before graduation, I thought, why not apply for law school? Even if I never use what a law degree would provide, certainly just having that degree, having the knowledge of the law could benefit me no matter what I would have ended up doing. But I did go into law. At that time, I also had the desire to really kind of be my own firm. And so for the first 4 years, I worked for others. But ever since that time, I've essentially been with my own firm. So.
That's awesome. And if anyone doesn't know who John Gold is, he is as nice as you can imagine as an attorney. So talk to me, first of all, I want to know a little bit about focusing. So this podcast is all about focusing. So when you are walking into your office and it's just one of those days and you're not, you know, everything's gone wrong, how do you, John, how do you focus on those days?
Attorneys deal with a lot of paperwork. We deal with a lot of emails these days compared to the old days. I've been doing this 32 years, and back in the day, we didn't have constant emails, constant contact, constant influx of information coming at us, like most industries now have. But especially in the law, we attorneys communicate with court systems. We communicate with each other in our law practices. We communicate with our clients through the email process, more so than the written letter, written documents anymore. And that becomes overwhelming. And so I always start my day checking my emails, trying to get that out of the way. And then I start tackling the stacks of paper on my desk.
So you have stacks of paper. I'm really glad to know there's other people that are like that. And then I also want to ask you another question about that. When you have a staff, right? And let's say your staff is just, you know, everybody's having fun and they're joking and it's just a great day, right? But you know, you've got to get business done, right? You know, you have to pull it together. So how do you get your team together and focused on those days?
Try to certainly have fun. As you mentioned, I think that's important to have a little bit of relaxation in an office environment, not be all about work. It is hard sometimes. Sometimes they want to have more fun than I want them to have. And at other times, I wish they had more fun than I'm allowing them to have. So we just try to take it day by day and let the day dictate what downtime we have that we can enjoy and what time we need to focus and certainly attend to business.
That's great. Talk to us. So today I wanted to talk to you a little bit about bankruptcy. And so for many of you that are listening, we're going to have a two-part session on this. And the other topic is going to be on Social Security. And I know that doesn't sound like the most exciting topic, but I think you're going to learn a lot. But talk to me about bankruptcy, because that seems so frightening to so many people, right? So talk to us a little bit about, without naming names, your customers. Like, what do they come in with? What are they concerned about? And just talk to us a little bit about that.
Bankruptcy's changed a lot in the last 30 plus years. In the 40s, 50s, 1960s, 70s, even into the mid-1980s, there was a huge stigma attached with the public in filing bankruptcy. You had small numbers of bankruptcies being filed, really, in my opinion, because of that stigma. Our society became one of easier to get credit, as I call it. Credit cards became more prevalent in society. Personal loans, now we have payday loans, those short-term fixes that people take advantage of. And because we have more freedom of debt and to accumulate more debt, we therefore probably the last 25 years or so have had more people resort to bankruptcy as an option to relieve themselves of overwhelming debt and to start again. Bankruptcy could be for you or me, Angela. I mean, we're I say that people are however many days away from bankruptcy based upon the savings they have to survive the downtime of life when things are tight. If we don't have that savings, we don't have that security net, then bankruptcy may be something that any of us would have a need to do, or at least a right to do.
Or businesses, even owning a business, right? It's a prideful issue, right? I mean, a lot of people really struggle with, I'm going to be so embarrassed. And so what do you tell those people?
You know, it's not to be something that is meant to be embarrassing. It's a right given to us under our federal law, and we're not doing anything criminal. That's what oftentimes people seem to have that idea, is this feels criminal to cancel debt. People gave me credit, and now I'm taking advantage of a law that's created by our government to relieve myself of that debt. I can tell you that I've never had someone in all my years that have come back to me after completing a bankruptcy case and say, I wish I hadn't have done that. It's a sense of relief. It's a chance to move forward. And most people don't look back after that. I tell them that there's not many people that's going to know unless they reveal that they filed bankruptcy. It's basically the bankruptcy court system will know their name. I certainly will know their name. My staff will know their name. But other than that, their debts will know that they filed bankruptcy. Short of all of those people, no one else is going to know it unless they reveal it. And that's not something that obviously anyone has to reveal unless they're so called to do so.
Right. So you wrote recently, John has a blog that I follow and I read, but you wrote an article on avoiding bankruptcy. So for all the people that don't want to, that want to just avoid it, what tips can you give them?
I tell people that there are certainly debt plans available that aren't related to the bankruptcy process. A great organization that's nationwide, they're a nonprofit, is Consumer Credit Counseling. Here in Springfield, we have two locations of that organization. They assist people with repayment plans. Obviously, that's not for everybody. Not everybody has enough extra income after paying their basic living costs that they could devote to a payment plan to try to repay their debts. But something like Consumer Credit Counseling is a wonderful organization. They meet with people for free. They try to develop a budget, try to develop a plan, even if they can't help you. Simply going through a budgeting exercise, which is what they do for people, is, I think, beneficial. Most of us don't live on a budget. We live from paycheck to paycheck, as the old saying goes. If we have the money, we tend to spend it or save it. It's one or the other. Doesn't seem to be anywhere in the middle.
Right.
Just really sitting down, maybe sometimes for the first time in a person's life, and looking at numbers on paper. What is my housing cost? What am I spending in food? What am I spending for entertainment, gas, other things like internet, gym memberships, things that maybe we don't need. Maybe we could scale down. Maybe we can create some money in our budget and reallocate that to debt repayment and avoid bankruptcy.
And we have a new generation, right, that's coming up, that they want something, they want it now, right? So for those individuals, I think it's really important that we hit on this. There's programs now, you can even get paid the same day, right? I think there's an app called that or something. And so for those individuals that are, let's say, in college or whatever, that are just spending, what advice would you give to them?
I wish that our school systems, before someone graduates high school, had financial literacy programs. That is some movement nationwide to implement that in schools. It's just not really taken off. I think that could be a very critical benefit to schools and our society as a whole to have that. We go to driver's ed school to learn to drive a vehicle. We're in PE class to benefit our health, but we don't have any financial health class. And
that's a very, very good point. When you and I were in high school, we didn't learn this. We didn't learn a lot of things that they still offer, but that's an area that's missing. Wouldn't you agree?
It is. I mean, interest rates, a lot of people don't understand what compound interest is. And if I take out money, whether it be on a credit card or I'm being charged interest on a home loan, a car loan, obviously the quicker I can pay something off, the less it's going to cost me in the long run. But we're not a society that thinks long term, it seems, anymore. We're the here and now. And if we can make it the payment, that seems to be the deciding factor in certain situations, rather than what's this going to cost me over the long term because of fees, charges, interest rates, things of that nature.
Right. And no matter, you know, we have a worldwide audience. And so no matter where you live, it's important to go to a specialized attorney that specializes in bankruptcy, right? And it's sometimes complimentary, but would you advise them, any individual, before they file, going to a specialized bankruptcy attorney and finding out? Because that is, that could avoid them going into bankruptcy, right? It could help them.
I don't think you'll ever find a bankruptcy attorney that's going to charge for a first conference to sit down and at least get some ideas about what your situation involves, what options you have, whether it be bankruptcy, whether it be debt settlement, whether it be do nothing. Maybe there is no option that's the best one for a particular situation. But usually those conferences are free. So really, it costs you your time, whether that be your time to drive to the office to set for a 30 to 60 minute conference. You're going to come out probably having certainly a better idea of a plan of action that you can take. And then it's up to you whether you act on that plan of action.
That's right. That's right. So talk to me, you know, we've talked a little bit about why someone would go into bankruptcy, but there is a downfall right afterwards. Like what happens, right? Once you file bankruptcy, how it affects your credit, how it affects you. Can you walk through once a person files for bankruptcy, they go through the process of it, but what happens to them afterwards? Because that's kind of where you like leave that business relationship for a while, right? In terms of, you know, they're done, you've done your job, everything is done. But what happens? I mean, does it affect their credit for so many years? Can you cover a little bit of that?
So filing of a bankruptcy can stay on a person's credit report for a 10-year period. A lot of people get that confused with how long bad debt, unpaid debt can remain on your credit report, and that's a 7-year period minimum. Bankruptcy extends that out. On the other hand, the debts that you may have on your credit report before you file bankruptcy generally are going to be eliminated by bankruptcy. So you're wiping the slate clean. That's kind of what bankruptcy is known to do. And therefore, it gives you a better chance of trying to rebuild credit rather than having the situation of trying to move forward in your life, trying to get credit when you've already got unpaid debts that you can't handle. So it is actually sometimes an offensive weapon, as I call it, not necessarily a defensive maneuver on your part to file bankruptcy, because by cleaning the slate, you do have that fresh start. You're able to go forward. Are you going to be able to buy a house? Someday, likely you will. Are you going to get another car loan? Yes, I believe fully you will. Are you going to be solicited for additional credit card accounts? That's certainly going to happen. So it's not that that's the end all be all of your credit history in your credit life. You are going to have that opportunity to rebuild.
Right. Perfect. And then leading on to that question, let's take a situation of a person, they could be any age and they are in credit card debt. They may file bankruptcy or they may not. But what is actions that they can do now to talk to these, you know, I kind of joke around with people that my son, for instance, you know, he's gotten one credit card that's been calling and calling and calling. So, but he's getting out of that. So, but for those individuals, they could have 8, 10 credit cards, right? How should they handle those calls? Should they, I know there's consumer counseling, but if they want to take it on themselves and try to fix it, what advice do you have to them?
You know, really the only chance that they have would be to try to negotiate a lesser payment than what they're currently making. The downside to that is that unless you can get the interest rate lowered on your card balances, you're really not ever going to dig yourself out of the hole. In fact, the hole is probably getting bigger by making a lesser payment than even called for by the credit card based on the statements you receive every month. We've become a society that tends to pay the minimum payment, and that in large part is covering the interest and finance charges that are growing on that balance, and very little is reducing your principal balance. So people pay and pay and pay for years and see very little principal reduction. And, you know, rightly so, that's how credit card companies and banks and anyone that's charging any certain rate of interest, they're in the game to make money by interest payments. And that's just how the world works with credit. But it doesn't really help the consumer who is making those minimum payments.
Right. And the anxiety can be you know, overwhelming. I just went to an Amazon conference, and I went to, it was interesting because it was for business owners. And I thought, you know, we have products on Amazon. I wanted to learn more. I ended up giving more people advice at that conference, and I was looking to learn. But one of the things that I heard over and over and over was, I have this product. I have taken out all these credit cards. I can't sleep at night, but I've got to keep going. And I'm getting calls after calls after calls. So when is it that you say, raise the flag and call a bankruptcy attorney for those individuals? I mean, because it was interesting. I didn't really know what to tell them because it's a personal decision, right? But, you know, credit cards can be a very scary place to get that initial, you know, money that you need. But when is it that, or, and you may or may not know, but when is it the line that you say, okay, I have to do something?
I think it's a matter of two issues. One is, what's your threshold of anxiety and stress that you can tolerate? We all have different levels of that. And some people can ignore that constant bombardment of phone calls, bill collecting letters, things of that nature. And others can't go that long before that anxiety level, that stress level reaches its peak. The second thing is, what do you want to accomplish? If you're 35 years old, you're probably better off dealing with it in some fashion, whether that be bankruptcy, debt consolidation, debt settlement, something, because you have a long credit life left to live, essentially. If you're 85 years old and had 10 or 15, 20,000 in credit card debt, you're probably less likely, if any, having a need for any kind of future credit at that age. Everybody has different circumstances, but the average person wants to raise their credit score. They want to have that opportunity to buy a better vehicle. They want to have that opportunity to be a homeowner. I mean, that's kind of the American dream. Not everybody can achieve that, but certainly you're probably not going to have any shot at achieving that if you don't take some kind of action eventually.
Right. And it's also business credibility, right? If you have an investor or someone that's going to invest in your company or your product line, they need to know that you're responsible, that you're taking care of your debts, and that you're managing it with a budget and being responsible. So it was kind of interesting. I felt like I was giving more advice, and I was like, where's John? I need to call him and ask him these questions. So having a good attorney is one of the most important things. And I want to share this. I always said, I have three businesses. One is an executive search firm that I created 30 years ago. And I said, after being in business, and I'll ask you this question, after being in business for so long, if someone said, what are the things that you must do in the very beginning? And I said, have a great attorney and have a great CPA. What would be your answer to that?
No, I agree with that. You know, many people, it's easy online to create a limited liability company, a corporation, a partnership, or just to do business in a name that you choose as a sole proprietor. You know, oftentimes people want to save money. They don't want to get some legal advice up front. They don't get some accounting advice. And that's when 2 or 3 years later, all of a sudden, some of these problems start happening. And it would have been better to have addressed those issues by knowing the information before you begin than to have to try to put the pieces of the puzzle together. Attorneys, CPAs, you know, if you have a business mentor, somebody that's opened businesses, been successful opening businesses, sold businesses, have someone, if you know them or get referred to them. A lot of people will donate their free advice to help you get started. It's an exciting time when you're starting a business.
And it is. And there's tons of resources out there. I'm a woman-owned business, so there's a lot of resources that I have found with that. So on this podcast, we'll actually put a link of some of those resources for those people. So this is great. I could talk to you all day long, John. I think you're amazing. I've known John for years. Like I said, he's very knowledgeable. And for anyone that doesn't know, I always send him to those individuals. But we have one question that we ask everyone on this podcast. And that is, when you're going to a conference or speaking or a meeting, but you're tired, you didn't get good sleep, you know, you're not yourself, you know, kids are problem, whatever it might be. And you get in your car and you're going to that meeting. What is the song or the genre or the artist that you listen to that gives you game on?
I grew up in the 70s and 80s, and AC/DC was always a favorite. And the one thing that kind of gets the creative juices flowing and just gives you a little spark of energy for me is always their song Thunderstruck.
That's perfect. Well, thank you so much, John. If anyone wants to check out your law firm, what's the best way that they can find your information? And we'll put this on the website for the podcast, but what's the best way to reach you?
We have a lot of information on our website, reynoldsandgoldlaw.com. There are articles, as you mentioned, about bankruptcy, about credit, about other options than bankruptcy. So I invite anybody to look at that information. In fact, many attorneys that practice in the bankruptcy area have great literature on their website these days. And of course, you can probably find a lot of information just simply Googling credit issues. I'm not sure all of it's 100% reliable, and I tend to probably shift someone towards a bankruptcy website, but we do have a lot of good information that we'd invite people to check out.
And one last thing is I would say to those people that are kind of on that fence is, there's an answer, right? There's an answer. Your life, your health is so much important and your family's important. So if you're going through this, whether it's through COVID or whatever that is that you're going through, really, what's the saying? Knowledge is power. Check out these resources to find out and focus on your financial health and your finances, whether it be individually or in a business. So again, thank you so much. You've been amazing. You're such a great resource for information, and I graciously appreciate your time today.
Thanks for having me.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Refocus Careers. If you are looking for a new job, a new career, check us out at refocuscareers.com/podcast. If you're looking for career coaching, we also offer that, as well as gift certificates if you want to give that to your young adult that is maybe not sure on what they're looking for in their life. But if you do that, it's going to change their life. Check us out at refocuscareers.com.